Galatians chapter 5, back in the fruit of the Spirit. In our walk through Galatians, contrasting faith and the law, we are not under the law anymore. We are called to so much more. And so, not being under the law doesn't mean that there's no standard. But we're not under the law. We have so much more, we're called to so much more than the situation would be if we were under the law. And it's a very, very exciting thing that we have. As we're going through the fruit of the Spirit, the different qualities of the fruit of the Spirit, I think we could call them, rather than the different fruits of the Spirit. I think that these are qualities of the fruit of the Spirit. I think it's maybe a better way to phrase this. But as we're going through here, we've talked about love, we've talked about joy, we've talked about peace, long-suffering, and then today we'll talk about the word that is translated in your Bible probably as gentleness, but it is the word kindness. Kindness is the essence of the word that's translated as gentleness. So turn to Galatians 5, 22 through 23, if you're not there already. The verses are up there on your screen for you. And we'll read these two verses once again. You probably should be able to recite these at this point. But we will have them up there and read Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Again, we are called to so much better. There is not a law that could do what the fruit of the Spirit does in and through us. And so, gentleness or kindness it seems like it's a message that the world preaches, doesn't it? The world seems to preach a message of gentleness or kindness. But I think we're going to contrast pretty clearly as we go along here the worldly view and the biblical view. But this word defines kindness, or the world rather, the world defines kindness as politeness or niceness. They naturally do, because their morality is twisted. But the Bible describes a far deeper quality. And the Greek word there is kreistetes. And we're not talking, again, about a personality trait or an emotion, right? If love is not simply an emotion, if joy is not simply an emotion, if peace is not simply an emotion, if long-suffering is not simply an emotion, neither is kindness and the rest of them. So we're not talking about an emotion or even a natural tendency, a disposition of someone. We are talking about something very specific, though. And so there's a good definition for you if you want to write that down. If you're taking notes, this will be a good working definition for moving forward here. And this is what kindness, biblical kindness, is. It's goodness in action for the benefit of others, especially when undeserved, an outworking of love. So if love is the basis, right, you can kind of think of the fruit of the Spirit, the qualities of the fruit of the Spirit, and in sections, right, love, joy, peace. It's kind of underlying all of them. And love is certainly the essential underlying quality for good, for kindness, for this word that's translated as gentleness, kindness. It's goodness in action. It's love in action, you could say. The actual effect of love worked out. And so you can kind of see where this might diverge a bit from the worldly view of love, don't you? Why might that be? Well, we need to understand the nature of kindness. What is the biblical nature of kindness? First of all, it is moral goodness expressed. The expression of moral goodness. Again, it's the outworking of love. And love, if you're reading 1 Corinthians 13, does not, it doesn't rejoice in evil, right? We got a lot of people rejoicing in evil today, calling it kindness. But the Bible's nature, the way the Bible explains kindness is moral goodness expressed. Again, we're not talking about an emotion, but we're talking about action that's rooted in righteous character, upright character. And so the world is just, they don't have an understanding of righteousness. They don't know what righteousness is. We do. They know to some extent because God's placed his awareness or an awareness of him and the right things, as Romans makes very clear, but they don't quite understand it. And their view of morality is twisted, generally speaking. And so moral goodness expressed, kindness is not just a feeling. It's not just feeling kind. It's not a feeling of kindness, but it's actually doing of good. It's doing good. It's godly biblical morality played out in real life, the day-to-day, the day-to-day results of truly loving. Romans 15, 14 says, I myself am fully convinced about you, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. It seems like goodness, and this that's the word there in this passage, very closely related to our word for gentleness, or our word for kindness. And we'll get to goodness in a, you know, in a later sermon, but it seems like in order for the apostle here to say, yeah, I'm excited about how God is using you, in order for him to be excited about it, part of that is goodness, but part of that is knowledge. Part of that is the ability to instruct one another. Just in anything? No, in the word of God and in his values, okay? So goodness and kindness is tied with having a right view of morality, knowing God and God's word. Proverbs 31 portrays the Proverbs 31 woman as being in her tongue the law of kindness. And so the nature of kindness is first moral goodness expressed. It's the expression of a correct morality. But it's also not a couple of things, okay? Kindness is, first of all, not weakness. Kindness is not weakness. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. There's a certain amount of strength that it takes to be a restorer, a certain amount of fortitude that it takes to get alongside someone when they fail, and to be strong, to be a spiritual strength to them, and to help restore them. That's not weakness. That's true kindness. Romans 11, 22, Paul says, Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. And that word goodness there is the word that we're talking about here this morning, kindness. Behold therefore the kindness and severity or harshness of God. Like, those are two qualities of him. Kindness and harshness. It says, on them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. And the verse goes on to talk about continuing in his goodness. But these are two aspects of God, the goodness and also the severity. And if anybody is not a weak person or weak entity, it would be God, right? God is kind, but he's not weak. He's not ineffective. Romans 2:4, again, pointing to the character of God. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Again, this word goodness is actually our word gentleness in Galatians 5, verse 22. I apologize if that's a little confusing, but that is the word there. Despisest thou the riches of his kindness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the kindness of God leads to repentance. One of the strongest, not weakest, one of the strongest ways to reach someone is in kindness. True, godly kindness. Not just in word, but in deed. And again, that's what evangelism requires. And the apostles say it over and over again. You saw how we conducted ourselves among you. We were good to you. And that is the strongest, not weakest, one of the strongest ways to reach someone. Maybe even the only way to reach someone is true, biblical, godly kindness. But here's where we need to clarify some things. See, kindness is not niceness. Kindness is not niceness, not quite. Niceness is surface level. Kindness is spirit produced. You can think of kindness as being agreeable to avoid conflict. Okay? Kind of the general idea. Agreeableness to avoid conflict. Whereas kindness is doing good for others because of godly love, regardless of the cost. Biblical, God-honoring kindness will cost you. There's a saying that has popularity among my generation, I think, and that is, be kind to everybody. It costs you nothing. Untrue. Biblical kindness is costly. It does cost you. It might cost you. It might cost you relationships even. It might cost you temporary division. But the goal is, again, if we're thinking about kindness in biblical terms, it is goodness in action for the benefit of others, especially when undeserved. It is love played out in real life. And sometimes love is not going to be nice, even if it is kind. Another thing about niceness is that it avoids offense, but kindness seeks true good. Ephesians 4:15 talks about speaking the truth in love in order to edify each other in the body. Proverbs 27:6 mentions this fact, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. There's something about kindness that disregards the self-protection that niceness holds on to. Niceness is self-protective. Kindness is self-giving. Galatians 5 indicates to us that it is fruit of the Spirit. It's a character, or it's a quality of the fruit of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 6. In fact, why don't you turn there? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse the first portion of this chapter gives a very long portrait of ministry, all the way from verses 1 through verse 10, basically. The apostle says this in verse 1, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he says, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And then here's where we get into a portrait of ministry here. "Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed." You can kind of see kindness and how that might fit into this. Giving no offense in any, that the ministry be not blamed. Not being blameworthy in ministry. Verse 4, "But in all things approving ourselves," or proving ourselves as the ministers of God, "in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering," and then what does it say? "By kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." You can kind of see a progression of this idea of how ministry stays true to the values of God and His Word, and yet can often be misconstrued. But verses 8 and the rest, where it starts with "as deceivers and yet true," "as unknown and yet well known," "as dying," and just this idea that even if the world, even if your enemies are attacking you and making right look wrong and making wrong look right, ministry, serving God, is all about staying true to Him. And it's not self-protective. And if you're in ministry in any capacity for any length of time, this will become evident to you. If you're self-protective, if you're trying to hang on to your, others' opinions of you and trying to bolster them, and sacrificing truth, sacrificing values, godly values, sacrificing uprightness so that you can fit in or not go against the flow, you're not going to be effective. And so kindness is not niceness. Niceness is self-protective. Kindness is self-giving. And so that's where kindness goes too far. Kindness goes too far when you compromise truth to avoid conflict. Kindness goes too far into niceness when you're allowing sin to go unchecked. Kindness goes too far when you're seeking approval from man over the approval of God. Galatians 1:10, the apostle says, "Am I now trying to gain the approval of people or of God?" You know, if I was trying to gain the approval of people instead of God, then I would have given in on this thing of legalism and license. I would have given in on legalism, but I'm not trying to get the approval of people. I'm trying to get the approval of God. And I hope that you don't fall into that trap. Here's a chart for you if it all shows up. Well, it doesn't, but you get most of it here. Biblical kindness versus niceness. The source of niceness is social pressure or self-interest. The source of biblical kindness is the Holy Spirit. The goal of niceness is to avoid discomfort or conflict. The goal of biblical kindness is to promote the true good of others. The tolerance of niceness is permitting error. The tolerance of biblical kindness is speaking the truth when necessary with love. The risk of niceness is that it always seeks approval, but a biblical kindness, it risks disapproval to do what's right. The root of niceness is the fear of man, but the root of biblical kindness is the fear of God. Love for God, love for your neighbor. And so when the Bible talks about gentleness or goodness as kindness, this word here, this is what it's talking about. Biblical kindness that is a fruit, a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Which leads us to point number two, the source of kindness. Source of kindness. First of all, God himself is the author of kindness, like all of the other virtues in our Bible. God is the author. Romans 2:4 again, the goodness, the kindness of God leads to repentance, it says. Titus 3, verses 4 through 5, shows us that God's kindness, as its author, shows up in Christ when he brings salvation. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. This is God's kindness to us, salvation and a relationship with us. Jesus was the perfect embodiment of kindness. Jesus is the example of kindness. Luke 6:35 talks about God being kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Jesus, when he was here on earth, was not the most perfectly polite person. He said things that enraged people to the point of them wanting to kill him, okay? And yet, it was spoken in truth, and it was spoken in love, and it was for the purpose of fulfilling the redemption plan. Luke 6:35, love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. And my friends, if he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil, you should be too. It's not an excuse. The morality of your enemy is not an excuse to be unkind. Number three, kindness produced. First of all, kindness is produced by the Spirit. If you're not walking with the Spirit, your kindness is going to be niceness, or your kindness is going to turn into something else. And we'll get into the opposites of what kindness is, just to get your mind going on that. Kindness is obediently put on. Colossians 3, verse 12 and 13 says, therefore, as the chosen of God, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. That's the word put on in some translations, is literally clothe yourselves with a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If someone happens to have a complaint against anyone else, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also forgive others. There is no excuse, especially in the body, to have unforgiveness toward each other, to have a lack of kindness toward each other, to have a lack of mercy, a lack of patience. Jesus has forgiven you. So if you forget that, If these things are happening, you're forgetting that Jesus forgave you of way more than you are not forgiving them. And put it on. It's commanded. It's an obedience that we ought to have. Ephesians 4:32, again, commanded. We're commanded to be ye kind one to another. That's that word, the Christos word. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Kindness is put on, and it's obediently put on, and it has in its mind the example of Christ himself. It's active and tangible as well. Kindness is active and tangible. You know, it results in actual things happening, actual actions, if that's not redundant enough. It's active. Number four, the power of kindness. I talked about how kindness is not weakness. Kindness is powerful. Kindness is powerful. And here's the power of kindness as the Bible portrays it. Kindness softens the hardened. It softens the hardened. Romans 2, verse 4 says, "Or do you have contempt for the wealth of his kindness, forbearance and patience, and yet do not know that God's kindness leads you to repentance?" His kindness is powerful because it leads you to repentance. Proverbs 25, 21 through 22 make this point as well. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. There's a crisis of the conscience that is possible in the mind of someone who's your enemy when you're kind to them. When you're kind to your enemy, their conscience, the picture of coals of fire on their head is that picture of their conscience burning them. Why are you kind to me? I've been nothing but wrong. I've been nothing but unkind to you. And kindness is powerful in that way, in that it softens the hardened. It also distinguishes us from the world. Again, back to Luke 6, Jesus says, "Love your enemies, do good, even to the unthankful and to the evil. Be like God in this way." And people will see, when you're Christ-like, people will see a difference. And you'll be able to reach out to them. So, what's the application here? I want you to think with me here of the opposites of kindness. You can see some of them. The opposites of kindness. Bitterness, cruelty, severity. Instead of tender-hearted action. An opposite of kindness is self-seeking attitude, neglect, even. Kindness is seeking the good of the other, even when it's uncomfortable, even when you're not rewarded for it. One of the opposites of kindness is harsh, cutting, condemning. Kindness looks like gentle and patient correction. Another opposite of kindness is passive indifference. And again, neglect. Kindness is active. An opposite of kindness is pride, anger, or apathy. Kindness, though, is rooted in love and humility. And so as you think about your actions, let's say, at home, is kindness a part of your pattern of living? How is kindness played out in your home? What does kindness look like in your home, in your family, to your wife, to your children? Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." You know it's not kind to speak harshly Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Speak what is good and speak gently. Kindness in your home looks like serving cheerfully, even when unthanked. Philippians 2 talks about Jesus himself as an example of our kindness to each other. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Stop being so self-focused. Be others-focused. Be service-focused. That's what it looks like in your home, serving. It looks like forgiving quickly. Ephesians 4:32 again. God forgave you. You need to forgive. You need to forgive each other. Correct lovingly, not harshly, especially with children. Colossians 3:21 tells us, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Loving correction, not harsh correction. Kindness at home looks like refusing indifference, refusing to be neglectful. Kindness at home looks like considering your tone with your spouse. Don't just be right, be kind. One person said, "Kindness is when you still fold the laundry after an argument." In your home, kindness looks like actions, even when your flesh doesn't feel a type of way. What about in the assembly? Kindness in the assembly looks like welcoming newcomers warmly, not looking down on them, even if it seems like they might not have a good attitude, even if it seems like they're just being dragged along here by their family. Kindness looks like being patient with spiritual immaturity. Kindness is not mocking or belittling someone for what they believe, how they practice things, but it's teaching them, coming alongside them. The servant of the Lord, 2 Timothy 2:24, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance, the acknowledging of the truth. If you ever come into a teaching or a leadership role, act with kindness. Your job is not to mock or belittle people. Your job is to teach them. And every one of us, if we're disciple makers, needs to keep this at the as a part of our interactions in the assembly. Kindness in the assembly looks like showing hospitality without complaint. 1 Peter 4:9 says, "Show hospitality without complaining. Support the hurting with presence and prayer, not just advice. Bearing one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Speak truth, not with pride or coldness." There's a tendency for people to kind of get in their cliques, in their silos of friendships, and not to and to be cold, to be aloof from those who they think are not as spiritual or not as friendly or whatever as they are. What about in work? Kindness makes you a light in a self-centered world, in a competitive world. Kindness looks like doing work with excellence. Colossians 3:23, "Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Kindness in work is encouraging others, not just correcting or criticizing. Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxiety in a person's heart weighs him down, but an encouraging word brings him joy." Kindness at work doesn't look like gossiping. Kindness at work looks like treating your subordinates with dignity, kindly. "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." Colossians 4:1. Kindness looks like being fair in disagreements, listening carefully and speaking calmly. "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Even if you think you're in the right, guess what? If you're angry and you're harsh with your pursuit and upholding what's right, it won't work the righteousness of God. And so, as with the rest of these qualities of the fruit of the Spirit, this may be your only witness to someone, is how you live, how kind you are. And just generally in public, you know, we talked about long-suffering in traffic, being kind in traffic, in customer service, helping out when no one else helps. Jesus gave a parable of a good Samaritan who came along and did not, he had no obligation to help the Samaritan, and yet he did. He was kind. It looks like speaking respectfully to people, even the homeless, even the people tatted up and with mohawk and with colored hair and with just not like you. Kindness doesn't look like constantly demanding your rights. I have a right to this and to that. That's not kindness. Kindness looks like generosity with your time, with goods, your attention. There's a thing that was popular when I was in high school. It may have started long before then, I don't know, but there's like a random acts of kindness type of push. I don't know if anyone else remembers that, but it was kind of supposed to be like a viral type of make everyone more kind type of thing, like do an act of kindness. You know, for the believer, random acts of kindness are regular, a regular walk, or they should be. You shouldn't have to have a leaderboard of random acts of kindness as a believer. It should just be a habit. Like you shouldn't be having to celebrate, oh, I was kind today, because you're kind every day. The biggest problem we have with kindness, I think, is in speech. And kindness will absolutely transform the way that you speak. Not just what you speak, but the way that you speak. Speak in a way that builds up. Again, the no corrupt communication idea, but be edifying. Give others the benefit of the doubt. If this is love in action, and love is giving the benefit of the doubt, bearing all things, believing all things, then kindness is the same. Soft answers instead of retaliation. Sarcasm or humor that stings. If we were kind in our speech, some of the things that some of the jokes that we would say would not be said. Proverbs 26:18 is a good illustration of this principle. It says, like a madman who shoots firebrands and deadly arrows, so is a person who has deceived his neighbor and said, was I not only joking? It's a fool. It's a madman who shoots arrows at his neighbor's house and just about kills him or his family and says, I was just playing around. I was just joking. This is not kindness often in the way that we joke. And it starts by kindness is also listening before speaking. It starts with actually understanding someone. You know, especially, well, I shouldn't say especially. It's a problem that I think is far often overlooked, is just the way that we speak to each other. And maybe one of the reasons why your kids hate you or your wife divorces you is because you're not kind in your words. There's all kinds of, you know, all kinds of, how do you say this? All kinds of beating of the chest among the red pills about how women are always divorcing men. Right? And how, you know, families are always broken up by these selfish women. And I think, like, that doesn't, there's no excuse for divorce. Like, I'm not saying that. But if you're not kind to your wife, I don't know why you would expect anything different, to be honest. And that might help you consider how exactly you respond to her. Because the way is just as important as the what. Or the how is just as important as the what. It's a big deal. And so make this a part of your family life, that kindness is upheld, that you're walking in the Spirit in such a way that when your family gets out into the world and is trying to identify, you know, people that will be good for them, they immediately can identify true kindness rather than niceness and be deceived, or rather than abuse and being drawn to that. And so, kindness in response, not harshness. Of course, kindness can also be what's never, or unkindness can also be what's never said as well. Ladies, when's the last time you encouraged your husband and were kind to him in that way? Said, you're doing a great job. And then, of course, all the relationships around. Same goes for men with their wives and men and women with their children. Kindness is moral goodness shaped by truth, expressed in gracious action, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The world doesn't need more polite people. It needs Spirit-filled Christians who show, who demonstrate in living color the kindness of God. Is that you? Does the world look at you and say, there's a special kindness to this person that's unlike the nice that I see all around me? And I pray that that is your heart, and I pray that this would be an encouragement to see great things happen in your family and in your workplace and in the assembly. And just out in public. Heavenly Father,